Children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking, counsel, thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world to bring back the family. Focus on you. I am happy and glad you chose to tune in to bring back the family. I'm your host, Kathy Clyburn, and if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. So first we are going to start out with a scripture and a prayer. And first I want to introduce our hosts, all of our hosts, for bringing back the family and that God has brought us all together to serve the youth in the way that he would have us to do our part in bringing awareness to what we need to do for our youth. And so we have our beautiful Jacqueline Vandegrift, and we have our wonderful and beautiful Rebecca Johnson, and we have Callie Pierce with her beautiful self, and our co-host Jacob Ritron, and our young adult Shania Cox, and our very own Bring Back the Family Wrap It Up host, the awesome Pastor O. And that's our lineup. And so now we're going to have a scripture read by Sister Jacqueline Vandegrift. Hello.
Junior host and everybody, I would like to thank you and welcome you for this part of our segment. I'm reading 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privileges and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is to serve others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie. That was lovely. I'm Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm honored for the opportunity to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up again. Thank you for your presence, your kindness and patience, your mercy and grace. I thank you for Pastor O, Sister Kathy, Sister Jackie, Sister Callie, and everyone who will participate, and all those listening to Bring Back the Family tonight. I thank you that your work through them inspires me to make sacrifices of my own. I ask you to give us the power to be effective as you show us ways we can serve you. I ask that you give our youth wise counselors to show them how to develop their skills and prepare for a prosperous future. I ask that you reveal to each young person the gifts that you have given them so they can develop those and use them to make a way for themselves. And I want to take this opportunity to pray for Mother Marilyn's family member in the hospital. She tried to take her life. Lord, please give her complete healing in her mind, emotions, and body, and cause her to draw near to you. And I ask that you give each of us the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. I thank you and ask for all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Rebecca and Sister Jocelyn. Thank you. Appreciate you so much. Okay. Hey, the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. How can they lead if we don't teach them? How? Show them the way. Prepare for them to carry the torch to the next generation. Okay? Bring Back the Family. Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we as parents and community need to do for our youth, our kids, our children, educationally, professionally, spiritually, being totally in tune and involved in every aspect of their learning and life in order for our youth to be good, productive citizens so that they are able to contribute and to be a contribution positively to society and others all around this world. We want good, productive citizens, okay? It's a calling for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? And what are we going to make up in our minds to do? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenges and the changes and the support and the sacrifice, meeting our youth where they are in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Who's willing? Who's willing? Who's going to be in charge of the next generation, of the next passing the torch, running this race, doing great things because we prepared them? We could do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a nuisance to the community or to our parents. And anybody around this world, we have to prepare them to go. Prepare them to go. Just think about not having to worry about your youth as they get older, because you prepare them to be able to function in the world and abroad, all over this big world. There's so much to see, so much to do, so many places to go, and they can go too. They can go. They have the right, but we have to prepare them to go in the right fashion. Okay? And, you know, all they need is a good foundation. And like I said, that comes from me and you as a community, a village. Okay? So what do we propose to do? What do we Bring Back the Family propose to do? We propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it. So we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. Time's up. It is simply just giving back. Find it in your heart to just give back. It's a sacrifice. It's a true sacrifice. A true sacrifice. Giving them more than what we have. Because it's a different time now and different generational mindset. And we're just going to meet them where they are. And we're going to depend on the Lord for all our decisions and every step that we make and any situation that we coming to, that the Lord is going to protect it and provide it for us to give a service to our youth that they deserve. Okay? Because who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Who's going to stand? Who's willing? And it is a sacrifice. It's a big sacrifice. It's taking time out of your own time, out of your life, and just being able to give. Being able to give back. And the simple things that they need. The one simple thing that don't cost us nothing is love. Love. Just some simple love. Some hugs and some, you know, encouragement, good conversation. Like I said, that one thing is love, and it's free, and it's easy. Showing them a good face, showing them a good personality, showing them just strength and courage, you know, giving them encouragement, you know. Somebody gave us something, and we know what they gave us. And we're here to tell it. So let's do it. Let's trust God in what we do and do it. What are we going to do for God before we leave here? What are we going to do? What's our mission? What's our purpose? And we have a purpose, but we have to give them a purpose. If they don't have a vision, give them a vision. It's not easy working with kids, but it's good work. It's good work because when you get to see the residual and what happens afterwards, after you give and after you show them that love and you show them that you care about them, it's very rewarding. I won't say it's so easy, but it's very rewarding. And God makes it easy. Even doing this show, I get excited at the last hour and say, okay, we got to do this. We have to do it, and it's work. It's work. It takes time, time out of your day, time out of your week. You have to do a lot of talking and a lot of listening, because the kids will tell you what it is that they need. They'll always tell you, because we always knew what we wanted, because we asked, and we might didn't even have to ask. It was always provided for us. And we know what they need because we know what we needed. And so in the way of encouragement and giving back, so that we're focused and want our youth to be able to grow up to be good, productive citizens. And the only way they could do that is that we make sure that they have a way to take care of themselves. We have to make sure that they can have what they need. In the end, they want to be warm, just like us. They want to have a home. They want to have a car. They want to have clothes. They want to have a dream, an ambition. They want those things, but some of the things they don't even know that they're supposed to have, because we're not talking about it. Education, we're not talking about education. We know that they need God, but are we talking to them about it? Are we talking to them, letting them know that's our guide? That God is our guide. Wherever we go, whatever we do, it's our guide. And they need to know that. They need to hear it, because they won't know if we don't tell them. They won't know if we don't tell them. We got the whole world out there that's teaching them some things that we really don't want them to learn. But they're doing it. So we have to teach. We have to take a stand. And just do something positive at all times. Let them see us doing something good, something positive. We're saying the right things. We're using the right words. And we're carrying ourselves in a respectful, loving, kind manner, in generous manner. Because that's how they're going to learn. That's how they're going to learn. And there's so many things that we could do. We know that our kids need to learn. We know that they need to read. We know that they need to have words to say, and so that's how they're going to learn, with books. Get some books. I know you got thousands of books in your home, like me. Thousands of books. Start a book club. Give out those books. Start giving them away. Start having them read books and give you a little small book report. Start with a paragraph, then two paragraphs. You know, you got to start out small with them because maybe they're not used to writing and telling you about the story. But book clubs are good. Our kids on our block, like I said, do something on your block to help your youth. And so what are you doing on your block? I thought I'd tell you what we're doing on our block. And we're having a good time. And I just encourage you to come back on, bring back the family, and let us know what you're doing on your block to your youth. And so, like I said, we're having a good time. Now I'm seeing that at first, I didn't see any kids on my block, but they were there. But when I saw them out and they started coming around, now I can't get rid of them. And so now I see them branching off, you know, because I needed somebody to shovel my snow, cut my grass, wash my windows, do something for me, you know, that I used to do for people. And I don't want to do these things, and I need some kids to do them. So I sought them out. And so I was like, where the kids at? And so now they're on their own. I see them going all kind of directions of trying to make them some money, trying to be community people, trying to keep their yard clean. Mm-hmm. And so when, and they notice that when they do what they do, when they be step out and go out and ask about getting the grass cut and doing these different things and helping the neighbors and people give them things. They give them things to work with. They give them the gas, they give them the lawnmowers, they give them the edgers, the cutters. They give them all the equipment that they need, and now they step. And now they out there working it. They are working it, and that's how we do it. You know, we got empty fields out here that need to be cut. Give them some dollars to cut those fields and clean them up so that their community can be clean and they can learn to appreciate where they live. And so those are just some of the things that we need to do anyway. And so Bring Back the Family, Cats Kids is doing it, okay? And I love to say it. And so we do participate in a book club, so we read, and that's a good thing. They're getting used to reading now. They're not as aggressive that I want them to be, but they want to get there because they're doing it, okay? They look forward to going to the book club. And it's called Cool Kids Book Club. President Taylor, Lil Taylor, she was on our show before, her and her grandma. And so teach them well, let them lead the way. So that's it. Do something on your block to help the youth. So that they can have what they need, so that they don't want to come and take it. They need what they need. You want them to pay tithes and offerings, then make sure that they have what they need to be able to pay. They'll have to be able to learn how to pay tithes and offerings one day. And so the only way they'll be able to do that is they're working. If they have an education, they have something to fall back on, something that they can pay their bills with, they'll be able to tithe. They can't pay if they're not working, if they're not educated, if they can't read. It just makes it so much harder for them. Can you feel me? If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. And, man, just so real. It's so real right now. And so let's just give our kids some love. I don't care who kids they are. They all God's children, and they're all our children, and they should all be treated the same. And so if you see some kids on the street, a lot of them out here playing basketball in the street, and you see them, stop and give them a word. Just say hello. You know, we care about you. Give them some encouragement and talk to them about school. Find out what they're doing in the classroom and what they're doing in school and what they're not doing. You know, ask them some questions, have some conversations so we can bring back the family. You know what family is, whatever family you, when we was coming up, we had family. It was serious. And so these kids need to know what family is and what it means and what it can really be. Okay? I'm seeing so much out there that's, you know, like disappointing. And so, and it's up to us to change that whole picture to make it, you know, a beautiful picture. Okay? All right. So we got the lovely Jocelyn Vandegrift, Sister Rebecca Johnson. We got some good resources today and some good information that's going to help the youth to just get ready for the upcoming school year and some things that they could do through the summer that will help them for the upcoming school year. Just some information and things that, you know, that'll just be like, wow, you know. And so write it down, take advantage of it, and pass it on. And if you want to have something that you want to say, then press 1, and we will let you in to the whole queue. And you could, you know, if you have any ideas, if you have anything that you want to share, graduations, anything, you know, important that you want to share that will help our youth, any resources, anything that they could be doing in the summer or tools that they could use for the upcoming school year, you are welcome to express. Okay, so, hey, Rebecca and Sister Jacqueline, what do you young ladies have for Bring Back the Family today?
You know what, Miss Kathy, are we having one of our youths on first?
Well, sure, yes. Let me see. Yep, we're going to have that little junior co-host, our little intelligent doctor, engineer, whatever he decides he's going to do with all those good smarts, Jacob, Ripron. And so, Miss Jackie, you can take that over. And Jacob, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay, hey there, Jake. How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. Say it loud. You black and you proud. Okay. All right. Hey, Jake. Yes, it's one of our favorite people. Okay. Let her rip, Sister Vandegrift.
Well, Mr. Jacob, what are you speaking to not just the young people, but to all of us? Because I think your message hits everybody in some form or fashion. So you want to talk to us? What are you speaking to us about today?
Today I'll be talking about delayed gratification, the ability, impulse for immediate reward to receive a more favorable reward at a later time.
Okay, so you said delayed gratification. Explain to the listening audience about delayed gratification. I think it was an example somebody had.
Delayed gratification is like when you work hard for something now and it comes back as, like, it comes back later in the future. Like, you study now, so you know if you pass all the tests, you do good in high school, you know you're going to go to college, and you know you're going to become a successful person, like business or wherever you decide to go to.
Okay, but now was there an example? Because sometimes
if someone sitting behind you, turn around, and look at them, and take a good look. They say, look to the front, look to the right side, and look to the left. One will party all night and cannot make it to class, and he will get kicked out of college. Another one will play video games all day and can't wake up to school and get kicked out of college. One will have relationship issues and a jealous mate and can't get to class and get kicked out of college. One will come to class and study poor grades and get kicked out of college. One will sacrifice their parties until they did all assignments, playing games until they completed all assignments, and sacrifice, circle themselves with like-minded people and enjoy life together. One out of five master delayed gratification and graduate college on time.
And, you know, we were talking about that. Sometimes everybody has to find their niche. And you will be graduating in 2024. delayed gratification. It would be awesome. We were talking about that. If you could spearhead a club where everybody in this club from your class hold each other accountable, because 10 years from now for your 10-year class reunion, it's going to come up so quickly. And wouldn't that be wonderful that all of the kids that were in this club were successful, healthy, God-fearing, with their families, and they come to the class reunion, and you all can celebrate and have a special occasion for this delayed gratification. I think when the lady mentioned it to me, a very special friend of mine, and she had brought it to your attention. What do you feel about delayed gratification? How do you feel personally about delayed gratification? How would it make you feel?
How do I feel about delayed gratification? I feel like sometimes it can be hard at moments. I feel like majority of the time you know it's going to pay off in like the long run. Like, when you know you want to do good in school, you know if I keep doing this like I do, I'm going to be able to become something when I get older.
Okay. Now, I noticed that this year, because, after your mom passed, you had a little setback. But this year, you have been really working hard to bring your grades back up, because most people probably don't know, from preschool until the moment your mother passed, you were a 4.1 student every year. And most people didn't know that because of the little setback that you had temporarily. But with things like Green Back Family and the community support that you have, and all of it hasn't been pleasant, people have really been pushing you. But guess what? How do you feel about looking at your grades, knowing that the majority, 90% of them, is almost back to where you were all A student? Now you have, this year you have a couple of B's and some A's, but you got time to bring those B's up to A's. How do you feel about that?
I know that if I continue to work hard, it's going to pay off in the long run. That's why I'm working so hard to get my grades.
You have been working very hard. Yes, I have to agree. But you have some real strong people pushing you, right? Some strong ladies, right?
Yes.
Okay, and gentlemen, you've had some good guys. I haven't, your latest mentor, I haven't met him. But kind of tell us how he has had a great impact in your life. I mean, since he's been mentoring you, I've seen you smile.
He's a person that is known not just for me. He's known for putting people, like, he's going to try to put you in the best position. Like, he wants to see you do the best in life. Like, he's going to try to, if he know that you're good at something and it's a group, he'll make you, like, the leader. Like, right now, he's putting me in. He wants me to be the leader of the eSport program at the Equal Press. He's putting me into a position so I can be a leader. So when I graduate, I can do the same thing for the next person, and they can keep going, because he realized that, like, he looked at it as more than just playing a video game. We talked about how it gives people a chance to get a scholarship and open up more opportunities.
Sorry about that. I'm trying to cut off something. Now, would you give a shout out to this great man?
Yeah, the great man, his name is Scott, but his cousin name is Frederick Moore. He's the radio and television teacher at Ecorse High School.
That's great, because you know what? A lot of times we call them unsung heroes that's in the community. You know, we barring that, we don't have the rights to that title. for any of your network out there, but for on a community level, the ones that's working in the community, that's lifting our children, doing the things that Miss Kathy is broadcasting every week about. We just want to give them a shout out. And I have to say that a couple of people, there's a shout out to the other gentleman that was in your life. What was his name? Dr. Cisco. Dr. Cisco was very instrumental in your life, pulling you all the way up to receive the NAACP award. And then here's this gentleman coming here that he never knew that your interest early on in middle school was photography. But he saw it because he had a keen eye to know where these students' interest is, what can lift them up. And I thank him for that. Okay, Jacob, anything else you would like to say before we move on? Are you with us, sir?
Yeah, my fault, sir. No, I don't have nothing else to say.
Okay, well, tell the listening audience, I thank you for listening to me.
I thank you for listening to me and tuning in to Bring Back the Family.
Thank you, Jacob. Okay, Miss Kathy.
Very good, Jacob. I enjoyed that delayed gratification. And you know, everybody is in a hurry. These days, and like you said, it's worth waiting. It's like it's no shortcut in life, and you have to go through the process. You have to, I was telling Jacob today that you're 16, so be 16, enjoy 16, because once you leave 16, you're not going to see 16 anymore. And so when you look back on your life and look back at all those years, you want to be able to have the most and the best out of everything that you got at 16 years old. You want to read a good book about yourself at 16. So make sure, you know, you don't have to rush, because you're going to be working the rest of your life after you, you know, graduate from high school and graduate from college and become a, you know, a productive adult. And so it's no rush, and a lot of our youth are rushing through life, and, you know, we need to let them know, slow down, just be who you are, be at the age you are now, and take advantage of what you have right now in front of you, because all those things you're going to be able to have one day, yeah, and it's worth it to wait and to do the work. You know, when you go to school, it's worth it to do the work. It's worth it to go ahead and go to college and further your education. It's worth it because it goes so fast. It really goes fast. So that was a good little segment there. Yeah, we do want to give a shout out to his. They call him Scout, and I don't know his real name, but. If Keila is online, she can, you know, tell us what his real name is. It's like you said, he's in charge of the radio and television productions at Equus High School, photography and all that. He's very, very high motivated, really motivated, and always got a smile on himself, on his face, and just has a very, very good attitude and a good presence of, you know, about himself. So shout out to him and Dr. Cisco. Okay. All right. What else do we have?
Well, you know, Miss Kathy, I was looking at, and I'm talking about Miss Kathy, I'm talking about myself, I'm talking about Miss Johnson, I'm talking about was it this offering? The school board, the lady?
Miss Freeman, Keila Freeman. Mm-hmm.
Miss Freeman, Keila Freeman. I'm talking about Pastor O. I'm talking about Pastor Hill. I'm talking about everybody that's busy. The brain chooses what we focus on.
The psychological of staying focused. You know, Ms. Kathy, as we talked about earlier, and we talked about single task and multitask. Most of us that I named are multitaskers. Well, guess what? I learned from, you know, I like to read and study. I learned we are doing all of this wrong. Because all of a sudden, we have wasted an hour and have tons of work left to do. Have you noticed that when you multitask, you said, where did the day go? I got so much to do. But still, I didn't get done as much as I want to, but I've been busy all day. Getting busy and completing and I'm spanking my own self on the head. Because there's two main things that comes to mind. Top down, bottom up. Now, when we look at top down, and this is the first time, you know, because I read this one little book, and it was so interesting. I think I finished it in 2 days, where it says voluntary focus is possible to fix the bigger picture. That kind of goes on with delay.
You're breaking up, Ms. Jackie.
Am I breaking up? Okay. I said Jacob spoke about delayed what?
Gratification.
Gratification. Well, top down falls into that delayed gratification falls into the top down. Because it's where you voluntarily stay focused. You're responsible for seeing the bigger picture. Studying for that exam and solving difficult problems. How to improve focus. One, by eliminating distractions. What is the most distractions that we have today? The phone and the TV, yes, yes. Because guess what? If somebody texts, it beeps. If a call comes in, you stop doing what you're doing. So one of the things is I did a little test, and I have one of these little hourglasses, and I turned it on, and I was doing assignments. And I had the hourglass up there, and it was 3 hours in the morning, so I didn't have to worry about the phone texting or anybody calling, okay? And so that hour from that sand pouring down in that hourglass, I was able to get a lot done. So that eliminated, that was the test for elimination. So I focused on, I had a list of everything I had to do. So I focused on reducing multitasking. One of the things I did, I got up at 5:30 in the morning so daylight hit, and I started working in my garden, doing the things that I needed to water it and putting the rabbit fences around it and extending it and everything. So that was on my list. Now, sleep. That's one of the things that most of us get very little from, but that's important for our brain function and getting things done completely. Taking short breaks. Ms. Johnson, who is a workaholic, sometimes you have to take a short break in between because you know when we get on these computers, it's nonstop. We just focus. Connect with nature. Like I said, I started a little small garden. Ms. Kathy said she seems to see a lot of healing going on with me by working in this small little garden because a year ago I couldn't do that. So, you know, that shows the blessing. So you're training your brain. How your brain chooses what to focus on and how to control it. Set selective attention, divided attention, and sustained attention. Now, I went a little farther, and I'm not a medical student, so I had to go in and look at the brain. It says, now, take your hand and make a fist and have your thumb on the side of your hand. So while I'm talking, this is a listening audience. Now, in front, they said that's the prefrontal cortex. That's your thoughts, actions, and emotions. You know where your fingers are folded down? That's the front. On the top where your knuckles are, it's the parietal parietal. I might be saying it wrong, but P-A-R-I-E-T-A-L. Well, somebody will get advice in the listening audience, and you can get on and correct me and tell me what I'm saying wrong. But it's the part where it shows our understanding, touch, how we feel temperature, our feeling, sensation. But now we have the temporal lobe, and that's in the on the side where your fingers are, and that's your memory, your hearing, your emotions, your ejection, your identification. All of that plays a role on our focus, and it's important that you start using 7 methods to help us get your focus back. Scheduling what you need to do. Now, if you need to get up in the morning time, I'll start off in the morning.
You're breaking up again, Ms. Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
We lost you for a second there.
Oh, okay. I was saying 7 methods to help you get your focus. Schedule, and I'm going to kind of wrap it up because time goes by so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Reward your mind for staying focused. So if you stay focused today, you got to treat yourself. Take breaks, real breaks. Forget multitasking and single tasks. Complete your assignment. Find work that keeps you engaged. Practice mindfulness. Stress is a focus killer. Meditation and prayer and a relationship with God helps you break in that focus. And they say chewing gum. I heard something else about chewing gum, and I can't remember what it was, but I said I was going to get some gum and start chewing it. My mother stopped me years ago because I used to chew embarrassingly. But they also talk about the Pareto, the 80-20 rule. 80% of our outcome comes from 20% of the cause. So anything that goes on in our life is because 20% we caused it. 20% we caused it. If you graduating from high school, 20% of your efforts caused it. Graduating from college, 20% of your efforts caused it. If you hug the bed and don't get out of the bed and you don't have any money, 20% of your efforts, in some cases 50% if you don't get out of there all day. Okay, 80% of outcome comes from 20% of cause. 20% of what you do results in 80% of your outcome. So it's vice versa. Benefits determine which area to focus, prioritize. Most business get most of the work done by 20%. Family, you can depend on probably 20% of a family's purchase. They depend on about 20% of the people to be involved. And websites, out of 100 people, 80% might view your website, but 20% will buy. These are trackers. So it falls under the Parkinson law.
And that's Pomodoro, measure of time. Good time management technique. If helps you stay on task, training 25 minutes press. Now this makes segment, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to wrap it up with that. It's called Eat the Fall. Well, what a coincidence when I read that. Start with most important task first. That means identifying your fall, the hardest task. Something you really don't want to do, but it has to be done. That's the fall. So when you finish it, you ate the fall. Single task versus multitask. We all thought the multitask was the best, which we now know that's where we're wrong. List what needs to be done. Focus on one thing and complete it. Second fall, complete it, and on. As single task is more hope conscious than multitask. So in essence, when you're not stressed out with multitask and you can complete some things, then you have turned around and you have started having a healthier lifestyle. Thank you so much, everybody.
That was so good. I enjoyed that very much.
Thank
We're
going
to have to get you a microphone, Sister Jackie.
You know what? All of a sudden, the phone is not loud. I couldn't hear everybody speak loud. I don't know. Sometimes we have no control over these phones.
There's a buzzer, yeah, too. But I wanted to go, I wanted to say to Jake how well he is doing on the radio. I think I can hear that he is more comfortable. And he had a wonderful topic, delayed gratification. That's good. That's something that the whole world needs. And I've seen people giving little children practice with the delayed gratification, where they put the M&Ms on the table and leave the room and say, don't eat those M&Ms until I come back. And they take a video of whether they follow the rule or not, but it's good practice for them so that they can save money and, like Sister Kathy said, pay now and play later. And then when you said about the multitasking, and that's my whole job is multitasking, but it is better to unitask. And then she mentioned the prefrontal cortex, and I said, ooh, that's just, I wanted to do a public service announcement to all the young people to let them know that their prefrontal cortex is where the decision-making part of your brain is, and it doesn't fully develop until you're 26 years old. So if you're a young person and you have a grown person's body and you're having grown person's thoughts and emotions, you have to acknowledge that your brain is still growing and that you need wise counselors to guide you until at least you turn 26. And then the gum chewing. I read that if you study and you chew a certain flavor of gum, and then when you take the test and you chew that same gum, it will help you remember. And then when you're ready, I have
Miss Johnson. Miss Johnson, please tell us what flavor.
Any flavor. You pick the flavor, but you pick the flavor, but you use the same flavor when you take the test.
Thank you so much for that information.
Absolutely. And so whenever y'all are ready, I have a list of resources, but I just had to say those while I was listening to Sister Jackie.
Very good. That was a lot of good information. Yep, pay now or pay later. And if you pay now, you're going to pay later. So hey, it's better to pay now. It's no shortcuts. Just go right to it. Mm-hmm. Yep. I said that a long, long, long time ago, Miss Johnson. You remember.
Yes, you know why? Yes. Because that was the first time I ever heard that. I said, ooh, I needed that when I was young.
Because if you play now, you can play early. You can get out there. You can be a nurse at 22 years old. You know, that's early. And then you can retire early. Yeah, pay them dues right away. Yeah. So what the youth are getting now and the information that we're giving out now is very important, because, you know, we wish someone had told us these things, you know. So if we're getting it out to them and they're hearing these things, then they'll remember. And then they'll take it in. We think they're not listening, but they really are. They really are. And good stuff. And I think all of the things that we talked about, that Ms. Jackie and you guys talked about, that's going to give us time to make time to spend with family, so that, you know, we can bring this family back together. And, I mean, time is going so fast that it's like you feel like you're really not getting anything done. And you do have to kind of like list and then put things of importance that you need to do. And I know you was asking me about if one task is better than the multitask. And so did you say that the one task is better than the multitask, Ms. Jackie?
You know what, Ms. Cassie, I'm just now learning this myself, because I'm one of the ones that, like everybody else, multitask. Mm-hmm. But I have a list of everything I have, and then I try to get everything finished. But come to find out that I'm guilty for you, because it really adds a lot of stress on you trying to get everything done. So I will practice, and I had started practicing the single task when I first read it, and I started scheduling the things that I need to do at whatever time, and I get up and I do that, and I felt very good about what I did.
Yeah, and sometimes if you don't finish that list, it brings about stress. So it's like you can't win while you're doing it, it's causing stress, and when you don't get it done, you know, all the things on the list are causing stress, because you really want to try to get it all done. So, yeah.
But I found out that on the list, by the time you did most of it, you only have a small section left, and it makes you feel real good that you completed all of these little things that you had on your list. And after you go back and you say, well, I didn't forget this, I didn't forget that, and I got this taken care of, so I'm moving to the next step. And I guess later on you'll start picking up the pace, getting more done. But I was very pleased.
I like to
go ahead.
I just want to interject that the things that you did when you were multitasking have less quality than the things that you do when you're unitasking.
I have to agree with that.
And like I said, all of this helps with putting in perspective with spending time with family, because a lot of, you know, since we do so much, and you have a lot of women that's head of the household, so they work in a couple of jobs, and then they don't really have time to put in, you know, with the youth, the quality time, and then, you know, just working and trying to make sure all the needs are met. That could be stressful in itself. So, like you said, they need to put in that meditation and prayer, and just take a time out for yourself, which we don't do. And that's a big one there. And all that goes with organization. And so I've been trying to get organized since I've been out of high school. So that's been a long time. I haven't gotten organized yet. And so, yeah, it's very important that we kind of, you know, try to bring the information that you got today. Hopefully everybody wrote some of this information down and try to put it in practice so that we can carve out some time that we can put in with the youth. And, you know, nobody can take that time. Just, you know, put that on the top of our list, our youth, because they're the ones, they're the ones that's coming up. And they have to have what they need. And if we keep pushing them back and not giving them the time that they need, then, you know, we're going to have to pay later for what we didn't pay for in the beginning. And so because I'm seeing, you know, a lot of our kids are basically raising themselves. And so then when we see the behaviors that we're seeing, it's because they are raising themselves. And so once they get to a certain age, it's like they, you know, don't even respect the parent enough to even do what they say. So you can't let that get out of control. You can't let that, you know, run away. You have to have that quality time to spend with your kids and with your youth. And that is so important. With just the time that Ms. Jackie, you spend with your nephew, giving him instruction and making sure that his homework is done and all his assignments are complete and that he's keeping his grades, you know, keeping that A at all times. And that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time to commit, you know, to a child. And that's basically what they need, that one-on-one. And so if we just put half of the effort that you put in doing that one-on-one with your nephew, making sure that his assignments are being turned in and that he's keeping that A standard. Wow. Just look what that would do. Okay? So it's very important to spend time with the youth. It's very important. It's like they're starving right now. They're starving. And so if we want this world to be a better place, we're going to have to start in our own homes. We're going to have to start right on our block, in front of, you know, right in front of our doorstep. We can see what's going on. We see the kids on the street. We see them, you know, coming and going. And that's what Bring Back the Family is about. Focus on your block. Do something on your block that can help the youth to be able to get what they need to make it, because they need to get it. Anyone want to have any comments, you can just press 1, and we will open up your mic if you want to have a word to say. Just thank everybody for listening today. Got a lot of callers. Appreciate you. Yeah, that time, I'm finding that time is so very important that you put in with your youth and with the kids. Okay, we have a caller here. Okay, 1-4-2-1-4-2-3, you are on Bring Back the Family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mark Miller. I'm glad. Good afternoon. Was that Kathy, Ms. Clyburn?
Yes, sir, it is. Thanks for calling. Bring Back the Family. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I thank you. I received your flyer, the info pertaining to this blog here. What I've heard, I'm in total agreement with, and I just want to say, Kathy, what you share with me, Bring the Family Back is about. You already been in my prayers. I take my hat off to you to know that you're doing something of value.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It was good to just share it. We were at the old Mark Twain spot where it's called Eden Park now, and I saw a lot of my schoolmates there. Mark Miller is one of my schoolmates, and it was very good to see him. And he was very, very warm with bringing back the family, as I was telling him, and he was very interested in it, and just, you know, took it all in. And I'm just glad that he called in today. Appreciate you. I know that you could understand, you know, because we had, you know, a good childhood, and we were all kind of raised up in the same community, and our parents made sure we had what we need to make it, and so here we are today, trying to give back to the community, working it out. So yeah, thanks.
Well, thus far, you have my support. I sent you a text earlier as far as how I can see how I can help promote and hopefully continue to be a part of. I'm thankful that God has given me a platform coming this June 24th, and I've been given the freedom to use my time to, I'm glad, to promote things like this, things of value that cannot just make a difference now, but when we talk about family, we're talking about generations. The things that we do now can set some precedent that a lot of us can probably agree that is lacking right now. So once again, I'm just glad we crossed paths last week. Thank God for what he's giving you to give back. And just a part of being in the family of believers, may we all search for these things so we can just do our small part, whatever it may be. But somebody had made a comment earlier about multitasking or just doing one thing. And I can see just this one thing, just a little bit that anybody can add to this thing that is worth, it is a blessing in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Thank you so much, Mark. And you continue to listen, and thank you for being able, you know, to share that platform June 24th. So you just keep calling in, call in next Friday and have your information, and we'll announce your venue on the show. I mean, if you have it with you now, you can announce it.
Actually, I'm driving right now, but off the top of my head, I'm a part of a production. It's actually a concert. The theme of it is it's a party, a celebration of. We actually want to give a concert with the people in mind. Come and celebrate what you have to celebrate in life. And we're coming together. I can understand and see one of the reasons you're doing this, the value has been lost in the family. So much and so much. With just life itself, we need to take advantage of any time that we can celebrate. Life itself is taxful enough. I just left my mother in a rehab facility, and I'm awakening again. How life can change quickly. I can speak of transitions that a few of our schoolmates, people from my neighborhood just recently, made their transition. So we know what life is. Our brother Jesus Christ, he left that our joy may be full. This is just an opportunity I see that we want to do that. And just as you, Kathy, I voice about my ministry, the outreach, we want a gap between what some people call the religious people. We just want to love one another, show that God loves us all. We can get together. We can enjoy life in a way that's respectful. But once again, as I give thanks for the opportunity to speak, I'm going to speak what says the Lord for me. Let's come together. Let's do what we can while we are here, and be thankful for every day and just keep going.
That's it. That's it. Do something for God while we're here before we leave here.
And that's serving people. Forgive me for cutting you off, but just what you're doing, that is the service of the Lord. Your focus is the family. This is what God talks about all through his word, the value in family.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. Okay, well, hang on. You might hear some more. Don't hang up. Just hold on. Keep listening.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to chime in? Okay. Well, we are going to go on and open Pastor O's mic, and let me talk about the graduates first. Pastor O, you just press your one so I can see where you are. And then we just want to talk about a few graduates. Juliet Clyburn, she's graduating from high school. And Alexis Pasco, she's graduating from high school on Sunday, and I think Juliet is on the 9th. You got Dr. Nedra Gaston to be. She's graduating from Cass Tech on the 6th. And Alexandria Maynard graduated from Wyandotte High School, and she's going to U of M, University of Michigan. And Nedra's going to Wayne State. Devin Hint graduated from Purdue, Indiana University. And so those are just a few of our graduates, and just, you know, that's a big shout out to all of them and let them know that we are very, very proud of their accomplishments. Delayed gratification. They waited, they took the time, and no shortcuts. They went through and they did what they had to do. And we want those high schoolers to make sure that you complete your education, further your education with college, and so that you could get out here and get what you need to make it and be good, productive citizens. That's it, okay? I have my niece, Joy, and Ryan Clyburn. They lost their mom yesterday, and I just want to send out prayers for them, send out love. And it's hard losing your mom now. Let them know our mom has been gone for 35-plus years, and it don't get any easier. You just think about the good times. So I'm wishing my niece and nephew and Kirby and all of them, wishing them much love. Okay? Right. Anybody else have any other announcements? And we'll bring our Pastor O on and our Awesome O and to wrap this thing up. And hey, Awesome O.
Hey. How's everybody doing this evening?
Wonderful, wonderful. How are
awesome.
You?
I am good. And I heard two things tonight that I want to speak on. And those are some things that we really need to learn. I think it was Jacob Rivron or whatever that came on.
Yes,
he talked about delayed gratification. And then I think it was Jackie who mentioned, imagine that, having God-centered men and women involved in this conversation about delayed gratification and passing that message on. And so I kind of want to bring those two things together because that's where the close comes from for tonight. And there were some folks in the Bible, these were men of God who had to wait and not become impatient and be willing to put in the time that it takes to become successful. Say no to yourself now so that you can say yes to yourself later. And delayed gratification is something that we really need to learn. Most of us are in debt with credit cards because we cannot wait until we get the money, so we just swipe the credit card or put it in the machine and approve, pull it out, and put it back in our pocket and go. And then we have a problem when the bill comes. And that's because we did not practice delayed gratification. We should have waited for a more financially convenient time to make that purchase, not get it, but wait until we can actually afford it and it doesn't do a disastrous thing to our debt ratio. In other words, we're spending out more money than we're taking in, and that's just a recipe for a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of headachy days. But these folks in the Bible, the first one that we want to look at is Noah. Talking about having to practice delayed gratification, he had to literally wait 120 years to get what God told him he was going to get. God told him to build a boat because the world was going to come to an end. He was going to destroy all flesh, and he wanted to save some. Whoever would have, by the way, anybody could have come into the boat. It didn't just have to be Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, eight people in all. Anybody who wanted to come into the ark could have came. They just all chose not to. They all chose not to practice delayed gratification, but to party right now. Okay, and that's what they did. They partied and partied. Noah had to wait 100 years. Okay, of preaching, it's going to rain. God said, if you come in the boat, you'll be safe. It's going to rain. That for 120 years. He had to keep his children, his sons, encouraged so they could encourage their wives. He had to keep his wife encouraged because God only spoke to him. And so he had to wait and wait and wait, and he did. And guess what? When it started to rain, Noah simply went into the boat, and if you read it, it was God who closed the door. And we love to say, when God closes the door, nobody can open it, right? When he opens one, nobody can close it. Same thing. So Noah had to practice delayed gratification. He had to wait for it to come to pass. He had to put the work in. He had to follow God's instructions, and he had to keep building on that boat. He had to stay encouraged. I am sure there were people who were saying, man, you've been working on that boat for years. You need to come on down here and party with us. But no, he kept working. He knew when it started raining, he'd have a whole different kind of party versus the one they would have. Okay? So delayed gratification worked for him. Our next up is Abraham. God meets him when he's 75 years old. And God says to him, okay, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and I'm going to give your people this land. But to get any of that, he had to practice delayed gratification because it didn't happen overnight, okay? It wouldn't be until 25 years later that God's promise would come to pass. And so he had to keep working, keep following God, keep doing what he was doing. He knew that it was coming to pass. He knew that day was coming. Why? Because God told him. Okay, and so he kept on. The Lord said, get up from among your kindred and your acquaintance, your place of comfort, the place you're comfortable being in, and go to a place that I'll show you. And so right from that moment, when he decided, I'm going to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, and I'm going to go where God is showing me. He didn't get there overnight. In their day, they mostly walked where they went, okay? So they would travel about 15 miles a day, and they would travel from like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. because there were like no street lights. They didn't have freeways and things. And robbers would be in the hills at night. And so they traveled in a caravan mostly for safety. But they would have to stop and eat, and other bodily functions would have to happen. And so they would make about 15 miles a day. So let's just say he spent 3 days getting from a modern-day Iraq to Ur of the Chaldeans. And all along the way, God is telling him, go this way. Now go that way. He didn't give him a map and say, here, follow this. Just plug it into your phone and let Siri tell you which way to go. It wasn't like that. He literally had to keep going a certain way until God said, go this way. But all along the way, he couldn't get in a hurry and get ahead of God, and he couldn't fall behind, okay, and get off the schedule. But following God and practicing delayed gratification, he got there. And that's when God made him a promise that he was going to become the father of a great nation. He's 75 years old. His wife is 65. God waits 25 years to bring his promise to pass. And just like God said, it happened. But when God made the promise to Abraham, Abraham believed God. He believed God right then. And so that gave him the power, just like Noah, to wait until it came to pass because God said it. Did he know how? Did he know when? No, he didn't. But he knew it would. Delayed gratification got him there. The next one is Joseph. Oh, Lord have mercy. This boy is 17 years old in a totally dysfunctional family. His father, Jacob, favors him because he's born of his favorite wife, Rachel. He did not really want to marry Rachel's sister, Leah, but his uncle Laban was kind of a tricky fellow. And so that's how that happened. Go read the story. You'll see what happened. So Joseph grows up, and he recognizes that his father loves him more. And Joseph is his father's favorite, and so he's kind of snitching his brothers out about everything. So there's an animosity there. They don't like him. Plus, they all have different mothers. Same father, different mothers. And again, Joseph is favorite. Why? Because he was born to Jacob in his old age, just like Benjamin, those two. The other 10 were from Leah, the wife he really didn't want, who the Bible says was weak-eyed. And then there was the two handmaids, Bila and Zilpha. Okay, and they were all having children, but Jacob loved Rachel. And so Joseph and Benjamin come from Rachel, so he favored them. This created a hostility between him and his brothers. God gave Joseph some dreams. The first one showed his brothers bowing down to him. If you'll notice something here, God tells his people something up front. And this gives them the power to practice delayed gratification until he brings it to pass. So Joseph now knows that his brothers are going to bow. And then he has another dream saying his father and mother is going to bow down to him. Wow. Okay? This is in him. He knows he has a vision from God that something great is going to happen to him. He's going to rise up. So anyway, his father sent his brothers off with the herd to a place to let them pasture, eat. And they decided to go over to a place called Dothan without telling their father. And so when Joseph goes to look for them, Jacob sends them out there to get a report to see how things are going. They're not there. I believe it was an angel who popped up and told Joseph that they're going off to Dothan. So he goes off, and sure enough, that's where they are. But when they see him coming, they say, look, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him. See what happened to his dream. One of his brothers speaks up, I think it's Reuben, and he tries to give them another plan, and they put Joseph in a pit. When he gets there, they don't kill him, but they drop him down into an empty well, a cistern. And usually in those wells, there were snakes, poisonous snakes in those wells. And Joseph's down there screaming all night long. Finally, they see their cousins, the Ishmaelites, the descendants of Abraham who had Ishmael through Hagar. Well, the Ishmaelites are going by. They're on their way to Egypt with slaves to trade in Egypt. Well, Judah, I believe it is, comes to the rescue with this idea. Let's not kill our brother. Let's take his coat of many colors and cover it with lamb blood and let's take and sell him to the Ishmaelites. That way we can show our father that some wild animal got him, and we can make money off this Ishmaelite deal. So they sold their brother into slavery. But Joseph had these dreams. He gets to Potiphar's house, who's the attorney general in our day, and he's doing awesome. He's blowing up. God is blowing up the spot. The Bible says, and the Lord was with him. This ain't the end of the dream, but things are kind of good for him, even though he's a slave and sold into slavery by his brothers. Well, Potiphar's wife kind of likes Joseph a whole lot. And so she started going after him every day. But Joseph is like, I can't do my God like that, and I can't do your husband like that. He didn't put me in charge of everything. What's wrong with you? Okay, he didn't say he want to, but he said he won't because I got integrity. I worship my God, and he don't play that. And I've seen evil like that with his sister Dina, who went through the thing with the boy Shechem. You remember that? So he's seen rape before, and he don't want to be a part of nothing having to do with that. And so he runs out to protect his integrity and to respect his master. But hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And so she accused Joseph of rape. And now Joseph is thrown in jail for 13 years. He would languish there for 13 years. In the 11th of those 13 years, languishing in jail, practicing delayed gratification, God blows him up in jail. And now he's running the jail. The warden, everybody knows throughout Egypt that the jail is being run better than it ever had been because Joseph running it. So the same thing is happening there. So Joseph now has to wait two more years. The butcher, the cupbearer, and the baker get tossed into prison. Something happened in the court. Pharaoh threw them in jail. Okay, they both have dreams. They get their dreams interpreted by Joseph. One is going to get out. The other one, not so much. They go back. Everything that Joseph said happened just like he said it would. The baker got his head cut off. The cupbearer was restored to his position. Well, 2 years later, Pharaoh have a dream. Nobody can answer it. He threatening to kill everybody. Suddenly, the cupbearer remembers Joseph 2 years later. Okay? And so Joseph is called up in front of Pharaoh. He answers Pharaoh's dreams. God gives Joseph a plan that's for 7 years of good and 7 years of bad, so he gives them a 14-year salvation plan for Egypt. It works, makes Egypt fabulously wealthy. Pharaoh is fabulously wealthy. Joseph's fabulously wealthy. His brothers and him make it all up. His father gets to see him before he dies, blesses him. All of this, delayed gratification. And Joshua, to get the promised land, had to delayed gratification. Yes, he knew he was going to get it because God said, I'm going to give it to you in Joshua chapter 1. And nobody will be able to stand before you as long as you stay with me. They had a little slip up in Ai. Didn't talk to God and didn't practice delayed gratification and wait for the Lord's answer. They just went down there and got tore up and 36 people died. But eventually Joshua and them did get the promised land, although not all of it. But they did get it. And lastly, King David. He's 17 years old, like Joseph. He's on the backside somewhere, keeping his father's sheep out the pasture. When Samuel comes looking for the next king, because God fired King Saul because he just can't do right, he can't get right. So God, dude, I'm just going to let you go, okay? So now Samuel takes his horn of oil and goes to look for David. David is on the backside of the mountain with the sheep. His other brothers are all up there with his father, Jesse. And Samuel looks at all of them and like, these are some nice-looking young men, but something wrong. These are not the ones. Finally, he tells them, well, I got this little ruddy-looking lad named David. He out there with the sheep. We didn't even think to call him in because he ain't king material. Well, guess what? Turns out that's the one. When Samuel saw David, God said, that's the one. Anoint him king of Israel. But David had to wait like 13 years, like Joseph, before he actually sat on the throne. He had to stay. Notice again, he was told something, and then God, okay, God will always tell you something. Because when it started looking crazy and going bad, you'll say, but the Lord told me. And that'll keep you going because you know the Lord told you. Even when it looks completely crazy, like it's not working, this is just a nightmare. As you'll notice, every one of these people who had to practice delayed gratification, right after God told them something, they went through something. It got tough. And the only thing that kept them going was knowing that God told them something. God told David, you're going to be king. I'm going to send Samuel to anoint you. Then Saul started trying to kill him. So David had to wait. But David did get to that throne. So delayed gratification, I thank you for that. That right there, you know, that was some good stuff, Kat, right there. You know, and you're going to have to practice. Because the work you're doing is not easy. But see, God done told you something. That'll keep you going when the road get rough.
Well, he pushed me out there. I went on and did it now.
Yes, you out there. You on the water walking.
I went
walking.
On and did it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was good. Boy, oh boy, well, I'm glad it all related. I was telling a young man today, I said, everything we go through is an example in the Bible about it, and you should read it.
Yeah. When they talked about delayed gratification, those folks just popped to mind, and what they got for waiting. I mean, Jesus even had to wait from, Thursday night when they arrested him all the way to Sunday morning so he could, all power in heaven and earth is been given unto me. And then told us to go and make disciples. He told us something. So that means we can go and make disciples and we can't be stopped because he told us to do it.
That's it. He has a plan for our life. That's all to it. And what was I going to say? Waiting on the Lord. So being patient and waiting on the Lord and being of good courage. I think that's the song. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage.
And be of good courage.
Yeah.
That's what he told Joshua.
Yeah, that came to mind. Well, good deal. Pastor, for everyone that don't know and do know, that is our very own Gerald Marshall Overall, Pastor O of Runner for Christ Ministries Church. And he is awesome. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. And if you don't have a church to go to, then you're welcome to join us at River Ridge High School right now. We're there 10 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock Sunday school, and 10 o'clock service. And that's at the River Ridge High School. And then on Saturday morning, right here on this same platform, same number, we have our morning service, our morning worship service, and that starts at 9 with Bible study and worship service following by 10 o'clock. So if you don't have a church home or you want to listen, feel free to tune in. Okay. Anything else? Just want to thank Jackie and Rebecca and Mark and everybody else that's listening. And just, you know, tell someone about Bring Back the Family. Share if you really care. Okay. Bring Back the Family. That's it, Pastor. Is that all? You got anything to close, remarks, anything?
Well, we have the Men of God month. All the month of June is going to be dedicated to Men of God. We're going to have my brother, Reverend Richard Overall. He's going to lead us out from Word of Faith International, followed by Elder Joseph Smith on the second Sunday. I mean, Joseph Stevens on the second Sunday. Our own pastor, Jonathan Tate, will be preaching Father's Day. And then I'll close the month out on the fourth Sunday in June. I may have to stand in for Elder Stevens, but we're going to wait and see what the Lord do and what the Lord says on that.
Oh, good. Be glad to have him back in the saddle.
Hopefully oh, sure
he's
will.
Progressing.
Yes, that would be
keep
really
playing
nice.
For his strength. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to be a... Huh? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Pastor Jonathan Tate will be preaching this Saturday. Okay, we can't forget him. He'll be preaching tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Oh, great. Good.
In our 10 a.m. service.
All right. Well, tune in if you don't have a place to be at that time. So that's going to be a treat having all the men serve this whole month of June. It's going to be a treat. It's almost like cooking. You know how men cook? They cook so differently. It has its own flavor and its own taste, and it's just really good. So we're looking forward to those meals.
So that man flavor. I'm looking forward to it because it is so hard to get men motivated, but we're going to do the best we can to get men to come out and be men, you know, take the position God gave them, you know.
That's right.
Women are looking for men, not males or boys, but they're looking for men. And that's kind of a rare thing today. See if we can't start creating better men. God, men of God, right? Like exactly like the men of God, you know.
Yeah.
So again, thanks to your co-hosts there. They were great. You know, Rebecca, she's just amazing. You know, her spiritual growth is unbelievable.
It is.
She just came out of nowhere, you know. Just boom,
yes,
I'm here.
She did. and we knew how to grab her. We didn't let her sit
so
long.
Glad.
We grabbed her right on up.
Put her straight to work.
Yeah, and she's so happy about it. I'm like, that's my girl right there.
You know, this fall is
always
coming.
Willing.
We got more book work to do this fall. She'll be doing all the copying, and I'm going to redo the Christian history book, and I got two other books that I have to write. And so she'll be a busy little beaver.
Girl
got skills.
She says she's ready. That is great. I'm going to have to find some more stuff for her to do because she's ready. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I think we done covered it all. Well, we're going to go ahead and close out. And you know that we have work to do. Lots of work to do. We will see you next week, the same time, same day, different topic, or more the same topic, okay? So, but all it is that bring back the family, focus on the youth, community, me, you, focus on the youth, okay? We have work to do. All right.